Morning. Going through that last song there, it just reminds me of the prayer meeting that we had on Wednesday. You start focusing on Jesus, just everything else seems to go away. And it's just at that time you're refreshed, you don't have any problems. You know, so that's what I was kind of thinking of as we were reflecting on that song right there. It's a privilege to be able to come before you today, bring the message. I have to admit that this was one of the ones to where it's almost like I don't feel qualified to even preach it, you know. And that's many of you that have taught, or if you prepared a sermon, sometimes that's kind of what you're getting when you're preparing it. You know, you're going through, and it's a sermon unto you. And it was one of those to me this week, to where that's how I felt while I was preparing this one. So today we're going to look at what it means and does not mean to be a peacemaker. The title of the message, Are You a Peacemaker? The two texts that we're going to start off on reference are Matthew 5:9 and Romans 12:18. So here are some questions to think about and ask yourself as we're going through this message or topic today. Think about these questions in every part of your lives. When you are at home, work, school, church, or doing something else, would you be known as a peacemaker? Are you trying to be at peace with everyone, if possible, by your actions? Are you working with or against leadership? And that's in reference to homework, school, church, or doing anything else. Are you hard to get along with? Do you start or stop gossip? Do you slander or pray for others? Think about some of those. And as we're going through, some of those questions probably stuck out to you more than others. So think about that. The Holy Spirit works. He works through the sermon. He works as you're reading the Bible. Let Him work today. What's He telling you with those questions? Before I go any further on this message today, I want you to know this sermon greatly affected me, and I worked through it, as I'd said earlier before. I was not the best peacemaker this week of my family. I've been very busy and had not really much sleep this week. At work, we were in training. And that took all of my day. I didn't have any time in between like I normally would, in between calls or tickets at my job. And then after that, I had to be prepared to take a test. So at that time, then Jeff had asked me to preach. So it's just like, hey, what am I going to do? And then we had so much other stuff, and it just got to where I felt like I was bogged down. And then this was the message that I knew I was supposed to preach, of being a peacemaker. So many times I said things to my wife and my son, and I just want to publicly say right now to them, I'm sorry. You know, please forgive me. And I also want everyone else here to know I am far from perfect and definitely always need to be lifted up in your prayers. So let's go ahead and read the text. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you today. Would you make us peacemakers if we're not peacemakers? Would we be at peace with you so we could be at peace with everyone else? And that would be including ourselves. Would you show us in our lives today, as we went through the questions earlier, What do we need to change to be a peacemaker? What do you have for us today, Lord? Would you work in each and every single one of us today? If somebody is not saved, give them that peace that surpasses all knowledge, that is only through your Son. Let them know that. Let them be able to just have that moment where they're lost in your Son. And be with us, Lord. Would you allow us to just be a church known for our love and our love for one another, so the world can see our love for each other and know that there's a God? Be with us today mightily. Please move. Don't let it just be another sermon that goes in one ear and out the other. But come upon us. Let us have that encounter. Let it change our lives. And then affect other people's lives as you would be, make us peacemakers. And we ask that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Point number one. Are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with God? The first point is towards all the unconverted or the people that are just playing games, that you're just coming to church to dull your mind so you can live how you want to live the rest of the week. So before we get into what a peacemaker is or is not, we need to make sure you are at peace with God. The ones who are peacemakers in our passage are referred to as sons of God. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36. The wrath of God abides on all who are not in Christ Jesus. Do you understand how a person can be made right with God? Do you know if you are right with God? God is holy. He will not overlook one sin. God is also creator, which gives him right or claim over all of creation. Also to make the rules, it gives him right to make the rules over us. God gave us a law. And the law is a schoolmaster that leads us to Christ. The law shows what the problem is and why one is not at peace outside of Christ. Let me show you what I mean by that. You shall not murder. Many people think they have never murdered someone. However, that is only by their standard of what murder is. Jesus said, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Everyone here is guilty of murder according to Jesus' standard of what murder is right there. Another one to show you what I mean on this. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's another one of the commandments. In other words, you shall not lie. How many people in here can say you have never told a lie before? In Revelation 21:8, we find out murderers and all liars, their parts will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. A Pharisee asked Jesus this question, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Who in here can say they have always loved God or their neighbors like this? As you can see, the law shows us we are the problem. Our heart is the problem. That is what it is designed to do. To show you you're the problem and then lead you to the solution on how you could be made right before a holy God. So the law shows everyone that you stand guilty before a holy God. None are good or can please God with good works. One could be made right through the person and work of Christ alone. This is good news for sinners or the ungodly. For the one who cannot save themselves, it is good news. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was 100% God and 100% man. He lived a perfect life. He lived a perfect life which fulfilled the law of God. Then he went to the cross. He paid the fine in the place of his people for their sin. He became sin who knew no sin. He took the full wrath of God in the place of his people. This is how one is made right through God, through Jesus Christ. They are imputed the perfect righteousness of Christ that is outside of himself, that is given as a free gift. He was imputed the sins of every believer in return. This is also known as the great exchange. He died on the cross. He went to the grave and rose on the third day according to the scriptures. Sin separates a person from God. Jesus restores a person back to God from their sin. You are commanded to repent and believe the gospel. That is not like many think that Jesus is asking. He's commanding. In Mark 1:15, he is commanding. He is commanding to repent and believe the gospel. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. This is the person who is at peace with God. The one who repents and believes and trusts in God, Jesus Christ, the person and work. That is the one who is at peace. The children of God are peacemakers. Point number two. What is a peacemaker? What is a peacemaker? A peacemaker is a Christian who tries to make peace with others. This also includes sharing the gospel so others can be at peace with God. A peacemaker is one who is able to be a problem solver. They are one who is gentle. 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26 says, "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." A peacemaker is one not being tossed around by every doctrine, which makes them able to share the truth and love. Ephesians 4:14-15. "As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, and carried about by the wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love." We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, What does speaking truth in love mean? We hear that all the time. What does it even mean? We find out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will be known fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now, faith, hope, love, abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Be at peace with everyone that you can. Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Are you salt or light to others in your life? Are you salt and light? Are your words and action any good to anybody else? Pray for your enemies. Overcome evil with good. Have you ever had anyone who was kind to you when you did not deserve it? Do you remember how powerful that was to you? Did it not even change your mood or the way that you were going to act or speak back to them? Should that not be how we should be? A peacemaker is one who has joy in making peace or counseling others. Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. Counselors of peace have joy. Joy in being a peacemaker. There's joy in it. Point number three. What a peacemaker is not. What a peacemaker is not. A peacemaker is not one who just lets everyone run over them. Right under our verse, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God," are these verses. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. A peacekeeper will be persecuted. A peacekeeper will be persecuted. To be persecuted means you must stand for something, which would also mean you will stand against something. We are servants of the High King and God. John Calvin said this, and I quote, "A dog barks when his master is attacked. I would be a coward if I saw that God's truth is attacked and yet remained silent." End quote. A peacekeeper is not a coward, but one who is bold in Christ. One who is full with the power of the Holy Spirit. Evidence of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As the Spirit convicts us of sin and points people to Christ. You want to know somebody that's full of the Spirit? You'll be convicted of sin and you'll be pointed to Christ. That's what it looks like. And you'll have the fruit of the Spirit as we just read that list. So really, a peacemaker is not a jerk. It's not the one that you see out on the street corner that seems to hate everybody. That they don't like themselves. They don't want anybody to be saved. They're saying all kinds of just awful words to people. That's not a peacekeeper. That's a jerk. We can speak the truth. We could be bold and at the same time be loving and have self-control. This is possible with the Holy Spirit. He's working in you. We're working out of what He's doing. It is possible through God. When a person becomes a jerk, it is usually because of bad doctrine or they were not walking in the Spirit at that moment. Do we really believe people are born dead in trespasses and sins? If this is the case, why would we be a jerk if they are just blind and they can't understand? Would you get mad at a blind man for being blind? Of course not. That's even a silly thought to think about. We wouldn't get mad at a blind man, but that's what a lot of people do in evangelism. You're getting mad at a person who doesn't understand what you understand. Grace is not a gift, is it not? If that is the case, how could you get mad at the other guy? Why would you even want to be a jerk? To be a jerk means you don't understand salvation. A peacemaker does not always have to talk. A peacemaker doesn't mean, hey, I got to go tell everybody what's on my mind right now and everybody has to know what I'm thinking. I have seen this many times on social media. You see this when a person makes a point by presenting the truth. Then when people try to argue, remain silent. They are already presented the truth. Your silence speaks loud. You just need to know when to speak and when to remain silent. I've had posts before. I wanted to say something. Went back there and just, hey, this person needs to understand what I understand. But the fact I got busy and I wasn't able to respond, I saw how powerful it was because they had like three or four responses back. But it kind of like siphoned itself out. And then at the end of it, I didn't even say anything. They just said, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I get what you were saying in the beginning. I didn't even have to say anything after that. So we present the truth. We don't always have to talk about it. We don't have to make them feel better, because God's truth will not always make us feel better. But it is what we need. Ecclesiastes 3:7. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. This man's religion is worthless. Point number four, peacemaker and the local church. Peacemaker and the local church. Francis Schaeffer said this, and I quote, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In the midst of the world, in the midst of our present dying culture, Jesus is giving a right to the world. Upon his authority, he gives the world the right to judge whether you or I are born-again Christians on the basis of our observable love towards all Christians. End quote. A true biblical local church will be one who has peacemakers. The church will be known by their love for each other in the world. Outside of this place right now, we should be known for our love, the love that we have for each other. When it comes down to it, a leader in a church must be a peacemaker. Any other kind of person will split a church. You want to know what it's like to be an elder at a church? It's being a peacemaker. And if you don't understand it's about being a peacemaker, you shouldn't be an elder. You shouldn't be a leader. Because that's basically what you're doing in a family too, is it not? Or on your job site. A boss, you're being a peacemaker. And if you can't be a peacemaker, what's going to happen? You're going to lose people. They're going to go somewhere else. Y'all can't get along. Somebody just went somewhere else. You're a peacemaker if you're a leader. Do you understand? We are not to be divisive people. We are not to be the ones who gossip. That's what splits many churches. They will slander others. It will be all about them. They will want it all to be about them. They have heard churches split over things like, should children be in here together in worship? Or should they be in another place during worship? You know what the result of that is, or what really that they're saying right there? People end up leaving and starting a church with something like this at the center. They are uniting over something other than the gospel. That's what you're going to see in a lot of church splits. They're uniting in something other than the gospel, and then they're coming together. And then when they come together, our doctrine is not agreeing. We're not here for the gospel. It was all about this. I found this, or you know how you'll hear people, they'll give testimonies. I found head coverings. They'll start a church around it. You know, it's whatever it is. I found this, and it's the sinner, and it's not Christ. And then that's the problem you see with a lot of churches today. The sinner is not Christ. It is a result of a church split, and they never stayed focused on Christ. They went the other way. Let's not slander and gossip about one another. We are all part of this local church. We are all here for the same mission. That is the Great Commission. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. This is the very opposite of a peacemaker. I mean, these are things that God hates. He hates them. God hates these things. This is unfortunately what many people do when they're not part of a local church. They spread strife among brothers about many local churches that are biblical. There is no perfect local church. This church is far from perfect. And I could say that at the very least, it's not perfect because I'm not perfect. So I could just tell you right there, the church is not perfect. Brethren, let's not gossip. Let's not cause strife among each of us. I have seen it before. I have been a part of a church that is no more. If we are going to talk about each other, let it be in prayer and in building each other up to others. If we're going to talk about someone else in the church, let's build them up to another person. Let's not bring them down. We are a family here. We are children of God. God is sovereign, brought us all together so we could proclaim Him. He brought us together. It's all about Him. It's not about us. So we can make disciples. So we can grow. We could be there for each other. We could plant churches. We all need each other. We all have different gifts. There is no need to boast or be prideful. We need to build each other up. Spurn each other up to do good works. If possible, so far as it depends on you. Be at peace with all men, especially with your local church body. The world is hard enough. We must love one another, not only with our words, but with our deeds, with our actions. Please be a peacemaker in this church. If you hear gossip or slander, just try to stop it right off. Just right off. Just cut it off. Don't be part of that. Be a peacemaker. Whatever we do, let's do it for the glory of God. And if your conversation, you can't honestly say you're doing that for the glory of God, there's a time to be silent. Point number five, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. What can we learn from Jesus, the Prince of Peace? Revelation 19:11 through 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in His righteousness, He judges and He wages war. His eyes are flame like fire, and on His head are many diadems. He has a name written on Him, which no one knows except Himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following Him on white horses. From His mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it He may strike down the nations, and He will rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on His robe and on His thigh, He has a name written the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Prince of Peace comes to judge and make war at His second coming. That's the Prince of Peace. He comes to make war. He rules with the rod of iron and treads the wine of the fierce wrath of God. What is He doing? He's coming to make peace. He's coming to be a peacemaker. That's Jesus. Jesus shows us here a true peacekeeper is not weak, does not just keep to themselves. What would you think of a soldier or a police officer who did not use force when they were supposed to or when it was needed? What if they came to your house and somebody was there with a gun trying to kill you, and they came and they didn't want to take care of that? They didn't want to make peace with the situation. You would say they should be court-martialed or fired, would you not? Because they weren't able to keep peace. Jesus said in Matthew 10:34 through 36, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household." That's saying people will be persecuted for being a peacemaker, even in your own family. It's not easy. That's why we need to pray for one another. That's why we need to build up one another. Isaiah 53:7. "He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet, he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, he did not open his mouth." Jesus was silent at times. The Jesus that will come back and wage war is the same Jesus that came the first time to be a peacemaker by giving His life for ransom for many, by laying down His life. Romans 5:1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He came to make peace with God. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and drove out the money changers. This is the same Jesus that said, "Let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Also the same one who said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him also have your coat. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you." Much can be said about Christ Jesus. Christ is not weak, nor is he a coward. We can learn a lot by reading and growing in the knowledge of him. Have you really cast your eyes upon Jesus Christ? There are many lessons to be learned in his life. We can learn a lot and grow a lot by what Jesus did. It's not what did Jesus do. We get in the Bible and read what he did. We don't try to think, hey, you know what that's doing? That's making you God. Hey, I'm going to think, what's God going to do in this situation? He gave us a scripture. We can read what he did. Let's read and let's grow in that. Let's grow in the knowledge about him. That's when you're going to be really changed, when you start reading about Christ. To be conformed to his image. So let's go back. The first questions that were asked today. When you are at home, work, school, church, or doing something else, would you be known as a peacemaker? Are you trying to be at peace with everyone, if possible, by your actions, not just your words? Are you working against or with leadership? Are you working? Does your boss tell you to do something at work? And you say, yes, sir, and you go do it. Or are you the person that stops and has to tell him why he was wrong? What about school? Do you listen to your teachers or the principal? Or do you got a better way? Or are you going to complain because they told you to do something? What about at home? Are you going to listen to your parents? Or do you have a better way? When your parents say, go clean your room or go do this, you just kind of act like they didn't say something and you go and you do something else. What about at the church? Are you a peacemaker? Are you hard to get along with? If you're hard to get along with in every situation of your life, it's not always everyone else. I used to be one of those people. I seemed to hate everyone. I even hated myself. When I got in traffic, I was so mad. I would speed up, couldn't go anywhere. The traffic was my problem, right? It wasn't my problem. My heart was my problem. And when you understand that you're the biggest problem, a lot of stuff's going to be easier for you. Do you slander or pray for others when you talk about them? Are you quicker to slander? Are you quicker to pray? If we are honest, these questions should not be easy to ask ourselves. We all need to repent in these areas. We could always be better. The person who thinks that they've come to where any of those, they can just check it off. Hey, I did that wonderful. You don't understand what's being asked. That goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning about the law. The law is a schoolmaster to lead you to Christ. It's just showing you what the problem is. So application today, number one, pray for others. We must pray for one another. We need to rely on the power of God to work in and through us. Nothing is impossible with God. We must plead with God for others. We must pray for our enemies. We are ambassadors of Christ. Pray for the leadership anywhere you go, including here. Pray for me and Jeff. We need your prayers. I mean, we need your prayer daily. It's not a, hey, I can check that off. I did it one time last month. We need your prayers daily. Life is hard. Life is so hard, you don't know what's going to happen the next day. That's why we're looking at this day. This day, right now, when I leave, I need your prayers. Jeff needs your prayers. Everyone that you're sitting next to, they need your prayers. We all need your prayers. Number two, stop the slander and gossip. By nature, everyone thinks they are better than others. We really, that person, they really love themselves. That is what we find in Scripture. It is necessary for us to read. Treat others better than yourself. Why does that even have? Shouldn't we already just know that? It says treat others better than yourself. That's what we teach our kids. But do we really? Do we really believe that? Treat others how you want to be treated. Love God with all your soul, mind, heart, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Slander and gossip are not loving, but divisive. It's being divisive. It is raising yourself up, making yourself look better than others. Please understand, I am far worse than any of y'all could ever know. In my thought life right now, just last week or even this morning, if we were going to put it on the screen, I would never want to see y'all ever again. That's how bad that I am, my thoughts are. So I'm not up here saying that I have it all together. I need your help. I need correction. I need accountability. I need prayer, just like all of us do. Let's never get to that point to where we think that we've arrived. Even Apostle Paul never got to that point. He never even got to that point. He wrote most of the New Testament. Number three, get on board with what God is doing here. Try to help out and be a peacemaker at this church. Keep watch for those who are sent in by the devil to tear apart what is going on. He will always be at work. We will all have problems. None of us are even close to being perfect. We do know the one who is perfect, however. That's God. It's Jesus Christ. God is perfect. We are not. Let's not act like we're perfect or expect others to be perfect. Give them a standard that you can't even keep. And the last point, number four, share the gospel. This is the ultimate peacekeeper. Once a person has peace, the peace of God, they are able to be salt and light to others. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you did not leave us to ourselves. That we know what you want. That you gave us your law. You showed us that all who are under the law are under a curse. But your Son became a curse for us. For all who repent and believe, trust in his work, you'll make a peacekeeper. The peacekeepers are the sons and daughters of God. Would you continue to grow us to be more like you? Let all of us know who you are, Lord. Let us not try to live or walk this life by ourselves, not walking in the Spirit, not walking in your power, or being alone, not being around other brothers and sisters. Let us be known for our love. Let us continue to grow in our love, in words, actions, deeds. Whatever we do, let it be for your glory, Lord. And let it be so much to where people outside of this building would see our love. It would not just fail or stop in this building, but it would go forth. Be with us, Lord. Raise this church up for your glory. That's to use us to raise other churches up. Nothing's impossible with you. We believe that, Lord. We believe your gospel. Be with us the rest of this day. We ask that. Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Hey everyone, this is Jeff Rose, pastor of 116 Bible Church. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope it convicted, encouraged, and connected with you. If you'd like to support our ministries, you can donate on our website, 116BibleChurch.com. Thank you so much. God bless, and have a great day.